I do my show on the Heritage Radio Network because I think it's important to talk about the impact of technology on our lives.
I do my show to reach home cooks and help them do better.
Because I love getting together with people in the industry.
I like hosting my show because, to me, it's the stories about people and their relationship to food that help make the food more interesting and more delicious.
Our hosts do their shows as a labor of love, but we still need your financial support in order to keep the lights on and keep the tape rolling. Please become a member today at heritageradionetwork.org.
This is the Heritage Radio News, bringing you top food stories from down the street and around the world with your Heritage Radio News team, Erica Wides, Patrick Martins, Jack Kinsley on sports, and Mike Edison on weather.
Welcome to Heritage Radio Network News. Today is June 2nd, 2016. I'm Erica Wides, co-anchoring with Patrick Martins. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. You're very quiet over there today. Our top stories today. Oh, I'm sorry. And Jack Kinsley on sports. And
I'm still here.
Yeah, sorry. And Mike Edison will be joining us later from, I believe, Milwaukee. Our top stories this week. Another resource dries up for Venezuelans. Another restaurant pops up on your block in NYC. But for how long? And another reason why social media is terrible. Jack, what have you got from us from the arena today?
Sports finals and sad fast food. I'll tell you more later.
Sad fast food. Is that a... Is that, how can that be? I don't know. And Mike Edison, as I said, is on the road. We'll be hearing from him later on. And now for our top story. A follow-up to our story last week about Venezuela. We reported last week on widespread food shortages, looting, and theft of raw materials in the South American country. And now, along with no food, there's also nothing to drink. The local bottler of Coca-Cola in Venezuela has halted production of the sugar-sweetened beverage due to a lack of sugar. Venezuela is in the midst of a deep recession, and spontaneous demonstrations and looting have become more common amid worsening food shortages, frequent power cuts, and the world's highest inflation. A global drop in oil prices has also drastically impacted the country's economy. Coke spokeswoman Terry Tressler told Reuters that production of sugar-sweetened drinks has stopped, but the output of diet drinks such as Coca-Cola Light and other zero-sugar beverages continued. Sugar suppliers in Venezuela have informed us that they will temporarily cease operations due to a lack of raw materials, Tressler added. Coca-Cola FEMSA SAB, Latin America's biggest Coke bottler and operator of four plants in Venezuela, added that it was hoping the nation's sugar inventories would recover in the short term. The bottler, which gets some 7% of its income in Venezuela, is a joint venture between Coca-Cola and Mexico's FEMSA. Over the past few years, the combination of price controls, rising production costs, lack of foreign exchange, restrictive labor laws, and a lack of basic inputs such as fertilizer have resulted in a drop in Venezuela's sugarcane production, with fewer planted acres and lower yields. Many small farmers have turned to other crops that are not price controlled and thus provide greater income. Excuse me. There seems to be no end to the suffering in sight for Venezuelans, although a loss of sugary beverages may turn out to be a blessing in disguise, as diabetes rates soar globally. If a similar situation happened here and Coca-Cola were to cease operations in the U.S., we might just have a revolution on our hands, though. Nothing like taking away someone's big gulp to rouse them to rise up.
Wow, it sounds like things are getting very dire in Venezuela for sure. Now, is there also talk of people running out of food and starving down there, or is it not that bad yet?
Yeah, well, that's what we reported on last week, that food shortages are really widespread because they don't have basic staple products. I mean, they're really kind of in trouble in Venezuela. It's going to be pretty interesting. Not that Coca-Cola is going to solve any sort of starvation issues, frankly. And, you know, Diet Coke isn't any better than that.
But at one point, I believe Coca-Cola was competing with water as the world's most drunk drink. That was what they said, because I think it was the second most drunk after water.
I'm sure in some countries it's even ahead of water because the water isn't safe.
Exactly.
So people drink soda. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Erica. Our next story, did you know that there are 24,000 places to sit down and eat in New York? And more are opening every day. Even with 8.4 million people, the New York City market seems too oversaturated with restaurants, bars, casual cafes, and takeout spots. The last decade has seen a boom for the industry, despite higher rents, a more demanding clientele, and additional layers of red tape, including the letter-grade health rating system from the city government. According to the City Department of Health, the number of permits rose by more than 27% in 2015 to 23,705 at the start of the fiscal year, up from 18,606 in 2006. The number of eating establishments in Brooklyn alone grew 10% from 2009. Some experts argue that there are already too many places to eat in the five boroughs, and many predict that a slew of establishments will soon be forced to close, having major repercussions across the industry. Fairway Markets and its in-house restaurants declared bankruptcy just this April. WD-50, Marcos in Brooklyn, The Harrison and Yaffa Cafe are just some prominent examples of restaurants that have succumbed to the happenstance of New York City restaurant turnover. Even for the restaurants that remain in business, it's difficult to find line cooks or staff to run the establishments since so many places now exist. In addition, the New York City restaurant scene has also to deal with the onslaught of food delivery services, including David Chang's Maple and Jamie Oliver's HelloFresh. Even Amazon and the New York Times are getting in on the food delivery business. It almost seems like food delivery is a way to subsidize the downfall of the publishing industry. Even Dwayne Reed now sells food. Closing restaurants creates havoc across the industry, from staff who become unemployed, to vendors who get stuck with unpaid bills, to landlords who have to find new tenants. Doing business with many restaurants might become dangerous. Perhaps New Yorkers need to start to change the way that they decide where to eat and consider revisiting a favorite watering hole rather than always seeking out the newcomer on the block.
I mean, New York is like, it seems like we're in the midst of a massive restaurant explosion. We are. The numbers are way up. But, you know, a lot of chefs are saying that they're having a really hard time finding qualified cooks because the cooks can't afford to live here anymore.
Well, there's also, you go to so many restaurants, and on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, there's two people in the dining room. Mm. And I just think that as more artisan businesses, hipster businesses, if you will, start, and they're very dependent on getting paid for their services, this slew of restaurants, especially if a lot close, these people might not get paid for their business transactions. Because more businesses go out, more people go unpaid. Big businesses can deal with that, but a small chocolatier that's starting out who gets stiffed by foreclosing restaurants could have significant effects.
Sure, they may not have the cushion in their operating budget either to afford, you know, to sort of absorb that for a few months. Well, thanks, Patrick. Excellent story. And coming up after the break, our Fast Food Minute. We will be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network News. I'm Erica Wides, co-anchoring with Patrick Martins, and we are broadcasting live from behind Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And now, our Fast Food Minute, sponsored by Cane Winery. First, we go to our very own Rachel, the producer.
Oh, thanks, Erica. I don't know about you, but I have some trouble getting out of bed in the morning without my cup of coffee. And I know that I'm not alone, and that's why the Barrisseur started its Kickstarter campaign last month. Though it's not alone in the world of aromatic alarm clocks trying to rouse you with the scent of coffee, this one takes it a step further by actually brewing you a cup. And like many things on Kickstarter, it's not just a coffee maker, but it also has a drawer for sugar, a specially designed milk vessel, and of course a phone charger. Now, while I definitely want one, since I have, once I have a spare $100 or so lying around, I'm just picturing trying to hit the snooze on a steaming hot cup of coffee. That's going to wake you up.
Does it also take pictures of the coffee and put them on Instagram for you? Because then it would be a true Kickstarter product.
Next step.
Oh, and Jack Inslee, what have you got?
Well, speaking of ridiculous things, welcome to the future, where the fast food is just as crappy as before, only now it's being served by robots. McDonald's CEO Ed Renzi argued that a minimum wage increase would lead to massive layoffs. He then went on to suggest that workers at that point could actually be replaced by robots. On Fox News, Renzi said, "I was at the National Restaurant Show yesterday, and if you look at the robotic devices that are coming into the restaurant industry, it's cheaper to buy a $35,000 robotic arm than it is to hire an employee who's inefficient at making French fries for $15 an hour. It's nonsense, and it's very destructive, and it's inflammatory, and it's going to cause job loss across the country that you're not going to believe. So that's scary stuff indeed, and I just can't wait until technology becomes advanced enough to replace Mike with a robot weatherman.
Then the robot would respond,
Well, you know, the CEO of McDonald's a few years ago said their ultimate goal was to replace all their staff with robots. So,
brother,
here we go again. And Patrick.
Well, in better news, State Agriculture Commissioner of New York State, Richard A. Ball, today announced the end of the ban on all live fowl competition and exhibits at the Great New York State Fair and at all county fairs in New York. The department has issued the ban in May 2015 to prevent the spread of strains of highly pathogenic avian influenza or bird flu. In 2014, approximately 1,200 poultry and pigeons were brought to the fair for various competitions and exhibits, and there are 45 county fairs and 6 youth shows for the fair season, which runs from June through October. Now, New Yorkers have finally found a use for pigeons.
We should just eat them.
Thanks for that, producer. Yep. That's a good line.
I lived in the East Village in the 80s, and there was a situation where a guy was catching and killing pigeons and then selling them as squab to high-end restaurants.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that flew.
Oh, good one, good one. Ruffled a few feathers. Well, is there anything Oprah Winfrey can't do?
It doesn't work when we wing it.
Oh, my God. Is there anything Oprah Winfrey cannot do? Media mogul, spokeswoman, African school builder, professional BFF to Gayle King? What's left? Well, what about food? The world's biggest one-name brand is about to slap that O logo onto everything in your fridge, pantry, spice rack, and all over your kitchen. She filed the paperwork in May for an O Food trademark, and the application lists basic staples like dairy, meat, fish, processed and preserved foods, spices, juices, water, lemonade, baked goods, fresh fruit and vegetables along with caviar, cut flowers, and manly stuff like bacon, beer, pickles, and energy drinks. Oh, is that all O? Oh, that O. She's truly bent on total global best life ever domination.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't you want Oprah's O all over everything you eat? Yeah.
Why not?
Well, that's it for our fast food minute this week, brought to you by Kane Vineyard and Winery. When we come back, we're going to have a story about social media causing eating disorders. I'm intrigued. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm Greg from Kapow. Visit us at kapow.com to check out our unique collection of everyday reusable products designed to help you do more with less. CUPPOW.com.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network News, broadcasting from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And next up, Erica Wides with another story about food.
Thanks, Patrick. Do your friends drive you nuts with their social media posts about their latest juice cleanses or their newest vegan, paleo, gluten-free, whatever diet? Can you tell that they drive me nuts? Those healthspiration or fitspiration lifestyle posts might not be so healthy after all, and in fact, are reinforcing some very destructive behavior. It may sound counterintuitive, but these are the main findings of a recent study looking at the complex and perverse link between social media, eating disorders, body image, and compulsive exercise. The study looked at data from 262 people about their exercise and eating habits, as well as their consumption of online inspirational nutrition and exercise content. You know, those posts that encourage people to push exercise as hard as possible in order to attain their usually aesthetic fitness goals, often accompanied by a quote and a photo of a glistening, sweaty runner on the beach. The study results show a link between fitness phone apps and compulsive exercising. No surprise there, given the wide range of other compulsive behaviors related to cell phone use. More specifically, young people consuming fitspiration content are more likely to exhibit anorexia or bulimia-related behaviors and also admitted to exercising in order to feel good about themselves. I exercise more just so I can, you know, kick more ass. Veronica Hefner, one of the authors of the paper, said in a press statement, "Plenty of previous work has documented the ways in which young people can be particularly vulnerable to the effects of media use in this area of body image. But it seems from our study that fitspiration content is specifically related to risky behaviors like compulsive exercise and eating disorder symptoms." So next time your app-obsessed friend posts her ab-obsessed selfies, maybe refer her to a therapy app or maybe a donut app.
Well, it's true. It's like people have to take care of two things in their life. It used to just be one. It used to just be your own body. Now it's your own body as well as your cell phone's body, making sure it's charged, right, that it works. It's like a lifeline now, just
and not
like
just
your heartbeat.
Your own body, but your personal brand.
Yes.
You have to manage your own brand and your online presence, yeah.
Well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Well, it is making it hard to exercise since the weather is so damn crazy these years. But Mike is here to document it all. And Mike, are you with us broadcasting from Milwaukee today?
Hey guys, I'm calling in from the airport. I'm on my way to Milwaukee. It's the last stop on my book tour. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty terrified. I mean, I'm doing my best here. I'm flying coach. I'm not taking the private jet, trying to reduce my carbon footprint. But I don't know how much help it's really going to do. I was looking at the National Weather Service website this morning, and there's a warning up there. It's all this nice flowery talk about summer. It actually says the sultry temperatures practically invite you to take a dip in the pool or ocean. Sultry? I mean, that's weather pornography. Who's paying for this? The taxpayers? It's a little upsetting, but it gets worse after there. This summer, the National Weather Service wants you to be prepared for the following, and I'm quoting, floods, severe weather, rip currents, beach hazards, drought, air quality, hurricanes, wildfire, heat, lightning, and tsunamis. Seriously. I would say this is just fear-mongering by the government, but then I looked up the stats for Wisconsin, where I'm headed, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to die here. You know there are 23 tornadoes per year in Wisconsin, and on the average, there are 40 or 50 thunderstorms per year just on the shores of Lake Michigan alone. I have no doubt that the second I land, I'm going to get caught in a funnel cloud and hit in the head with a giant piece of cheese. But I'm doing my part. I'm flying coach, and they're just about to call Group D, so I got to go. I'll hopefully get back and see you guys in Bushwick next week. Over and out.
Wow, Mike. Sounds like things are pretty scary out there in the Midwest. It sounds a little bit like Midwestern Armageddon to me. You better get back to New York where it's safe and our weather is merely hot and humid. Ugh. Not that dangerous. There were actually terrible floods going on right now in Paris. I just heard about that morning. They had to close the Louvre because they're afraid of flooding.
A deluge in the Louvre. Wow.
Deluge of the... Yeah, the Seine is 15 feet higher than normal because of flooding.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. All right, well, as usual, our own very own Mike Edison with
Thanks, Mike.
Uplifting and charming weather report. We will be right back.
Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
You know what that beat means. It's time for sports and what's happening, as Erica says, in the arena.
In the arena, yeah. The sports beat.
The sports arena.
Who's going to win the NBA title? What are your three keys to watch this NBA finals?
You know, you can't underestimate the heart of a champion.
Who?
But which champion? Right, we've got LeBron, we've got Steph Curry, and the Warriors. So I don't know. Part of me, Patrick, wants to see Cleveland win for the first time, you know, because they never won anything that city. But I kind of just think that Steph Curry and the Warriors are too much to handle.
Well,
so
thanks for bringing a Rudy Tomjanovich quote from the past.
Someone has to. I would look out for Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he does, and J.R. Smith, the ultimate X factor.
Interesting.
Anyway, two ridiculous stories to report on this week, Patrick. You may have missed it. I definitely missed it. But in the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals are underway. And this year, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the San Jose Sharks. But it's also mayor versus mayor and sandwich versus sandwich. That's right. So Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto made a bet with San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo that involves regional pride and, most importantly, food. If the Sharks win the series, Liccardo gets a gift basket of Premonti sandwiches and Heinz products, of course, from Pittsburgh. If the Penguins win, Peduto will be chowing down on Gordon Biersch garlic fries and beer. He'll also get some of the famous orange sauce from La Victoria Taqueria. I guess that's what San Jose has to be proud of. In other news, Taco Bell plans on giving away tacos during the NBA finals. Is this a gift or a curse for fans? If the away team wins during games 1, 2, or 3, fans get free Dorito Locos tacos on Wednesday, June 15th from 2 to 6 p.m. If the visiting team loses the first three games but wins a game during game 4, Then fans get a free taco on Tuesday, June 21st from 2 to 6 p.m. Sounds like madness and chaos, and no matter who wins the NBA or NHL finals, someone's going to be eating shitty food. So I kind of feel like Mike Edison here. No good news to report this week.
Are there any Taco Bells in Venezuela, Jack?
Oh, my goodness.
Because, you know, if they better be careful what they offer, because they could be stampeded.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. That's actually not funny. I'm sorry to the people of Venezuela. That's insensitive, but yeah. Still.
Taco Bell's insensitive.
Feast or famine, you know, here in America. All right. Well, thanks, Jack, as always, for our sports update. Well, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with our op-ed.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network News from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And our op-ed this week comes from Heritage Radio Network's intern, Hunter Liu, a candidate in the food studies program at NYU. Welcome, Hunter.
Thanks, Erica. Human flesh and corned beef. It's the latest food scandal to go viral in China. In Zambia, an African nation with close economic ties to China, the local media has erupted with news that Chinese corned beef producers are using human flesh in their cans of corned beef. Accompanying the news articles are pictures showing a human corpse lying on a butcher slab waiting to be processed. But none of it was true. Those terrifying pictures of human corpses waiting to be made into corned beef, actually part of a 2012 marketing campaign for Resident Evil 6, a zombie-themed video game. China has an image problem. Seemingly every food story that comes out of China is negative, like gutter sewage oil being used in restaurants or pork that glows blue in the dark. Videos of Chinese tourists ransacking buffet lines in Vietnam or throwing instant noodles at Thai flight attendants have gone viral throughout all of Asia. Self-conscious of its global image, the Chinese government has clamped down on travelers, issuing an official guide telling Chinese tourists not to urinate or defecate wherever you feel like or heckle live performers. And enforcement is no joke. In 2007, the head of the Chinese Food and Drug Administration was executed a month and a half after being found guilty of covering up faulty products. Part of this narrative is true. China's food safety situation is a mess. Even within the country, Chinese citizens are suspicious of their own food products, with those that could afford it opting for international brands. Modern China has become such an obsessive, money-driven society. Should it be that surprising that some people are willing to cut corners to get ahead? Plus, I'm not surprised that some Chinese people can appear so uncouth internationally, since most have never been out of the country and simply not used to dealing with other cultures. But in my opinion, this Zambia story also shows how nervous many countries view China's increasing power, which has also translated to the suspicion of Chinese people and its products. Whatever the case, the ugly American now has some serious competition as to who takes the crown of being most disliked internationally.
I just read a story actually about the Chinese manufacturing fake jellyfish. There's all these fake food products now.
Americans currently eating a lot of food that's produced in China, value-added products or raw products?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the products that we have here, like garlic or tilapia, a lot of those products are from China.
Hmm. What do you think China's going to do to fix the image, fix their problem? What are some of the things that they have at their disposal?
Well, I think, the thing in China is that the government is able to move really quickly because... I mean, I guess that's one of the good things about having more of a oligarchy or dictatorship is that, you know, they want something to be done. There's like five people in charge of it and they can get it done really quickly. So that is a good thing. And I think the public image is changing, whereas the younger generation are more concerned about food safety issues, or the younger people have traveled abroad internationally and they've kind of seen the war more than the older generation. So they're more in tune with the opinions abroad. So I think that's probably helpful.
I have the perfect spokesperson for this campaign, Stefan Marbury.
Stefan Marbury, yes. Which team is he playing for? Do you remember?
The Beijing. Can't remember the name of the team, but he's won championships with them. They have statues of Steph Marbury out there.
Well, I'm happy for him. It worked
Brooklyn
out
zone. Yeah.
It didn't work out in the U.S. for Marbury.
No, maybe he can start a line of safe food.
Yes, that would be nice. Let's approach him.
Awesome story, Hunter. Thank you.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Hunter. And that's it for us for this week on Heritage Radio Network News. Thanks so much for listening. And if you have any ideas, comments, want to just say hi, please email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. We will see you all next week, signing off from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. See you then.